Hey, everybody, and welcome to the You Belong podcast. I'm your host, Aaron Argo, and I'm so glad that you've joined us today because I want you to know that you belong here. No matter what your past or what you've been through, God brought you here for a reason, and we believe that He has a plan and a purpose for your life. Now, let's jump straight into the message, and I pray that God both inspires and encourages you through this word today. Listen, in today's world, it feels like we're in battles every single day. We feel like we're in battles every time we turn around. Every time we turn around, it feels so many different areas that we can look at and say this about. We can look at the political realm in the world, on the world stage. Right now, Israel and Iran are in a conflict where civilian casualties are growing, where they're rising and tensions continue to be high. There were more missiles launched this week. As a matter of fact, there's also where President Trump is weighing in on whether he should deploy troops or use bunker buster missiles against deep underground enrichment facilities, which by the time I finished this message, it looked like he used those missiles and blew up some high enrichment facilities underground. And then Iran is warning the U.S. that our involvement would be, quote unquote, dangerous. We're in battles, y'all. Every time we turn around, we could go all across the globe and find different conflicts and battles that we're in every single day. Some of them we don't even know about. But then there's also battles closer to home, like financial battles we face on a daily basis, where we try to make sure that we have enough money to take care of our family. We got enough money to have food on the table and clothes on our backs and make sure that the air conditioner keeps running in this 99-degree heat. Lord, bless us, Lord. Come on. Somebody's excited about air conditioning. But we've got all of that going on where the financial battles are here on a daily basis. All of us can look back and remember times when it seems like things were better. I remember when I was a young teenager or maybe 12, 11 years old, the cheapest I remember gas being, the cheapest, and I'm about to blow some teenagers' minds today. The cheapest I remember gas being was around 52 cents a gallon. Now, I know some of y'all probably remember the 25-cent gallons. Yeah. 18 cents, 20 cents, 25 cents, that's kind of thing. Some of y'all remember way back when. Some of y'all remember when eggs didn't cost you an arm and a leg when you went to the grocery store. Right now, you got armed guards standing on either side of the egg aisle. And if kids try to go egging nowadays, the parents are like, no, man, we need those. Listen, the cost of everything has gone sky high, and there really isn't a whole lot we can do about it because it just keeps growing and keeps growing and keeps growing. Then there's the physical battles that many people face today. Many of you that are in here today, you physically fought to get here today because your body did not want to get up. Maybe your mind was telling you, no, you don't need to go anywhere. You need to stay right here in this bed where it's nice and warm and safe, and you don't need to get outside. There's even those that right now are watching online who physically are in a battle for their lives because of different diseases, different things that they have in their body. They need help just to get up and go to the restroom and go back. They need help to do this. They need help to do that. There are people that, my parents right now, I'm going to visit them this afternoon. They've been going through physical battle after physical battle over the past couple of months. And I'm going down to visit my mom and my dad both today because my mom had a procedure done this past week. My mom went to the doctor yesterday. I'm going to check. She had a fall this week. There's physical things that are happening that are battles that we go through. Some of you that are in here today, you're battling to stay awake right now. I understand. But listen, I encourage you to stay awake because you're going to find out about your battles today. You're going to find out about the other side of it. See, there's spiritual battles today too. There's a spiritual war that is raging around us every single day. Our enemy is fighting us tooth and nail. He's not taking a day off. He's not backing off when you seem like you're tired. He's not saying, well, he's had enough. I'm going to give him a break. What he's doing is he is redoubling in his efforts to attack us on the front of our families. He's attacking us with our children. He's attacking us with our finances. He's attacking us with our help. He's attacking us in every situation that we've got around us. And right now, everybody's going, my gosh, I thought I was going to be encouraged today. We feel like we're walking around with a target on our back some days. Anybody ever feel that way? I've actually said that before. But I want you to know something. God is fighting for us. Jesus is at his right hand interceding for us. And the Holy Spirit is acting as our guide and our strength in our times of need while here on this earth. We may not be fighting a war halfway across this world, but we are fighting one right here, right now, every single day. In our homes, in our families, in our workplace, in our churches, in every situation, we fight a battle. It's the everyday battles, though. See, we may not be fighting a huge war like the Iran conflict over there. We may not be fighting this huge thing, but we are fighting everyday battles that may seem insignificant. Whether to get up and go to church or not. Whether to open my Bible or not. Whether to believe in God's word or not. Whether to sing God's praises or to sit back and let someone else carry my worship. We're fighting those battles. We're fighting the battles of faith. We're fighting the battles of peace. We're fighting the battles of healing in our own bodies. Over the next few weeks, we're going to deal with the everyday battles that we face. We're going to discover how we can face those battles with the presence of God and the power of the Holy Spirit and come out on the other side of the battle, pressed but not crushed, bruised but not beaten, and stretched but stronger. That's what we're going to discover over the next few weeks. If you're with me, say I am. The fight with our own flesh that rises up against us and pulls us in every direction that we don't need to go. It tries to pull us in this area or in this area of our lives. Maybe the battle of our minds rebelling against us and creating anxiety and depression and trying to convince us that the worst is yet to come. Or maybe the battle of unforgiveness in our lives or resentment in our lives or spiritual apathy where we sit back and we expect someone else to do the job that God called us to do. Before we can talk about those battles, though, we have to talk about the most important thing I'm going to teach you this entire summer. Nudge somebody and say, it's important. This is going to be the most important phrase that I want you to remember for this summer. You were born to win. All right. Some of y'all halfway believe it. Some of you got it a little bit. You were born to win. You were not born to live in the doldrums of society and the live in the lower part of your atmosphere. You're not born to be put under somebody's foot. You were not born. See, I know right now I sound like a motivational speaker. Everybody welcome Tony Robbins to the stage. I know I sound like a motivational speaker or one of those TV preachers that try to tell you name it and claim it, blab it and grab it and all that other kind of stuff. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not going to stand up here and tell you, God's going to bless you if you just give us more money or you do this or you do that. I'm not here to sit there and try to do all that kind of stuff with you. What I want to do today is simply change your perspective of how you view your battle. Because I have a feeling right now there's some people that are in this room that you're viewing your battle as one you've already lost. You get up in the mornings and it's like, well, it's another day. Let's see what goes wrong today. Let's see how the enemy's going to attack me today. Let's see how I can, what part of my life is going to fall apart today. Let's see what my spouse does that ticks me off today. Let's see what my kids do that makes me want to kill them today. Let's see what my boss does that makes me want to quit my job today. Let's see how everything is going to blow up in my face that I do that's good. And we walk around with that negative attitude, looking like we've been sucking on a lemon for about 25 years. See, I want you to look at your battle with a different perspective. See, Joshua and Caleb had a different perspective. Joshua and Caleb, they went into the promised land with the other 10 spies. And all of the 10, and Joshua and Caleb came back and they were like, hey, let's go in there. It's got food. It's got fruit. Man, it is the best place. When they say it was flowing with milk and honey, it did not mean that there was honey dripping off of trees and milk flowing in the rivers. What it meant was there is enough for us to have and then some. It is plenty to be there. But the problem was the 10 spies that went with them, they had a different perspective. They said, we are but grasshoppers in the people's eyes, and the place is full of giants. And we're but grasshoppers in their eyes and in ours. Some of y'all need to quit looking at yourself and telling yourself you're nothing but a grasshopper, because God is standing behind you saying, hey, I'm here to fight your battles with you. It doesn't matter how big you are. It matters how big I am. Y'all, I done got fired up early and I'm sweating. A few minutes, if you're on the front row, you're in a splash zone, okay? So just hang tight. But they had a different perspective. David had a completely different perspective than his brothers at the battle with Goliath. The brothers and all the Israelites looked and they were afraid because he was such a giant man. I've heard it said from pastors, it was like, he's so big. He's so big, we can't beat him. And David looked at him, at everybody, and said, no, he's so big, I can't miss him. We need to look at our problems that way. If your problem, the bigger your problem, the greater the stone is that your God can throw at him. You're born to win. Turn to somebody and say, you're born to win. Elisha's servant in 2 Kings 6 had a different view. He didn't see who was on his side, but Elisha had a different view. He saw that the battle was already won. And he said, greater are those that are for us than those that are against us. Listen, it doesn't matter what battle you're facing today. You've got somebody on your side that can take care of them all. There's a story about two kids, two twins that had developed personalities. And y'all are sitting there going, how is this going to go to a scripture? Hang with me. There was these two kids. They had developed two different personalities. One of them was extremely, like, they had gone to the extreme positive side. Everything was great. Everything was wonderful. They were just happy all the time, happy-go-lucky. No, nothing could get them down. On the other side, you had this kid that everything that he imagined something was going to go wrong. And the parents got so worried about these two, said that they need some balance. So they took them to a psychiatrist. And they sat down with the psychiatrist and his counselor. And he met with the one that was very negative to begin with. And inside of the room, he was going to do an experiment. Inside of the room, he had a pile of stuffed animals. You got to think, this kid's 6 years old, six or 7 years old. Pile of stuffed animals, brand new, all clean, sparkly, just soft as they could be, just gorgeous stuffed animals. And said, listen, you get to play with every single one of them. And the little boy started crying and said, they're all going to break when I touch them. And he was so worried about they were going to break. And they're not, I'm going to tear them up. I can't do anything right. I'm going to tear them up if I ever touch them. And he spent his time with this kid, and he couldn't convince him to play with the toys. So he had another room set up for the other child. And the other child, he brought the other child in. And there was a big pile of stuffed animals, there was a huge pile of horse manure in the room. Everybody's going, what? There was a huge pile of horse manure in the room. And this is the positive kid. Everything was positive. He said, oh, wow, awesome. And he ran over and started digging in the horse manure. Now, that's messed up, y'all. But he started digging, and the guy didn't understand. He's like, hey, what? And he finally calmed it down, and he said, why are you digging so much? The guy said, with this much manure in here, there's got to be a pony in here somewhere. You got to change your perspective. I like that story. You got to change your perspective. Somebody say, change your perspective. Many of you need a new perspective today. You believe that your current situation is your lot in life. It's never going to get any better. Just something you have to deal with. I'm never going to be healed. I'm never going to get over this bitterness. I'm never going to forgive. I'm never going to be forgiven. I'm never going to feel better about this situation. I'm never going to remember all of this stuff that I'm supposed to remember. I'm never going to be anything for God. The enemy has convinced you that your current struggles will always be your struggles, and nothing is going to change that. Can I tell you something? Your situation is not permanent. You were not meant to eat through life struggling to put one foot in front of the other. I can stand up here and I can quote you scripture after scripture and Christian cliche after cliche. You're the head and not the tail. God will never leave you nor forsake you. All things work together for them that love. I can quote all of those things, but if you don't take it to heart and you don't believe it inside of here, all it is noise going into your ears and not getting into your heart. Are you with me? All of it means nothing if you don't believe the words that are coming out of my mouth. Listen, today's scripture tells us exactly how to overcome and how you and I were born to win. Everybody say born to win. 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 5 says this. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. Everybody say born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For everyone, this is the verse I'm going to concentrate on today. For everyone, everybody say everyone, who has been born of God, say born of God, overcomes the world. Oh, come on, y'all. Think about that for a minute. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. That's something to shout about right there, because that gives you a promise. And it says later in that verse, and this is a victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Let me pray. Father God, today, let my words be few, your words be powerful, and let us walk out of here knowing that we were born to win, in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to break this down very simply and very quickly today. We're not going to take very long. We're going to jump straight into it. And I believe that God wants to get some people free of how they view their battles today. God wants to set somebody free today. Somebody say, I want to be free. God wants to set somebody free from how you look at your battles. I'm not going to tell you that you're never going to face another battle in your life. I'm not going to tell you that you're not going to get bloody and bruised in a spiritual sense. I'm not going to tell you that things aren't going to go wrong in your life. But what I will say is this. There is a promise inside of this scripture that should make us shout to the heavens and declare the victory. If we keep our eyes on that promise, we can count every struggle, every situation, every problem we face, every sickness that comes against us, we can walk over to the win column on our chalkboard and go, that's one for God. That's another one for God. That's another one for God. Because we are not supposed to lose. We are born to win. Everybody say, born to win. If you're with me, say, I am. If you're ready to jump in, say, I am. First word I want to look at is everyone. Everybody say, everyone. You are a part of everyone. In verse 4, it says this, for everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. For everyone. Listen, that word everyone means every person on this earth, every person that is in the sound of my voice. You are a part of everyone. If I were to stand up here and say, everyone in this church today is walking out with a $100 bill. All of a sudden, I saw the teenagers' hands going up. Hallelujah. Gee, that's the most action I've ever seen from them in a message. But if I were to say that, you know what you would do? You would position yourself in a way to get that $100 bill. Now, I'm not saying I'm going to do that. That would be one way to grow the church. But I'm not going to do that today. But if I were to say that, you would make sure that you were standing in that line with your hand out going, gimme, gimme, gimme. I want my $100 bill. I want my $100 bill. Why? Because you want to make sure that you're a part of everyone. You're going to make sure you get yours. Why? Because I said everyone. If I said that, I venture to say that everybody inside this building at the end of the service, if I said if everybody in this place is going to get a $100 bill, there's people online right now watching. I would say, listen, I'm getting to church. They'd be in the car in about 2 seconds getting on up here so they get their money because they want to be a part of everyone. Everybody say everyone. They want to be a part of everyone. You're going to make sure you get yours. The word doesn't exclude anyone or cut anyone out. That word everyone, it allows access to the benefits offered to the entirety of the whole. John knew what he was doing when he said everyone. He was opening up the spiritual door wide enough for anyone and everyone of any creed, color, background, nationality, gender, it doesn't matter. They could all be involved in what God could do. When he said everyone, he opened up the door wide enough for every single person in this room. It didn't matter what your background said. It didn't matter what the doctor said about your sickness. It doesn't matter what your teacher said about you when you were younger. It doesn't matter what your parents think about you, what your bosses think about you. It doesn't matter how many times you failed, how many times you succeeded. All of those situations, It opens the door to you. Don't let the enemy disqualify you from your victory. The enemy will sit there and look at you and say, no, 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 no. Alcoholism has your family, so that's not you. The enemy will tell you, no, 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 no. You've made too many mistakes in your life, so that doesn't include you. You're not everyone. You're something else. You're not worthy to be included in that everyone. The enemy will tell you drugs have too big of a hold on your family and there's a generational curse on you. You've had too many sexual partners in your life. That doesn't include you. You've lived an alternative lifestyle for so many years. It doesn't include you anymore. You've held on to that grudge for too long. So that disqualifies you from accepting the peace of God. That disqualifies you from winning because you've been involved in all of this. You've had too many abortions. You've had an abortion. You're not allowed to be forgiven. It got really quiet in here. Because I guarantee you there's some people in this room that have heard the enemy tell you, you've done this, you're disqualified. But that word everyone tells us something else. The enemy tells you you're not spiritual enough, you're not good enough, you're not strong enough, you don't know enough, you don't understand enough, you're too weak. I love what our camp speaker this past week, his name was John Lamadou. Weird name, but a great guy. John Lamadou, I love what he said one night during the altar call. He said this right here. He said, God is attracted to your weakness. Let me say that and think about it for a minute. God is not repulsed by your weaknesses. He is not repulsed by your mistakes. He is not repulsed by the ugliness of your life. He is attracted to it because it is in your weakness that he is made strong. It is in your weakness that he is made pure and holy. It is in your weakness that he can show how great of a God he is. So don't let your weakness disqualify you. Are you with me? Listen. You are still a part of everyone, even if you're bloody, even if you're skin up spiritual knees and a black eye. God still looks at you and says, you are still a part of everyone. And then John takes us to the next verse where it says, who has been born of God. Everyone who has been born of God. Now here is the qualifying statement that John said. This is the qualifying statement. This is sort of like the equivalent of you must be this tall to ride this ride. Some of y'all have never heard that. I'm a short guy. I have heard that. A better illustration would probably be, perhaps a better illustration is that if you have this name, you're going to gain more favor. Let me put it that way. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. For everyone who has been born of God, everybody say born of God. Listen, one of the most powerful names in sports, I guarantee you, if you go over to Tuscaloosa right now, and if your last name begins with an S and ends with an N, and has Aben or Aba in the middle of it, if your last name is Saban, you could probably walk into just about any restaurant, any place over there, and people go, his last name's Saban? I wonder if he's related to Nick. Oh my gosh. Treat him well. Give him the best food. Give him the best drinks. Make sure that you pay for their food. All this. Because his name carries weight. Nick Saban is one of the most well-known names in the sports realm. And he's going to get favor when it comes to that. Listen, that phrase, born of God. Everybody say born of God. It has nothing to do with physical or biological birth. Nicodemus asked Jesus about it in John chapter 3. How can a man go into his mother's womb and be born again? And Jesus said, no. You're not understanding. Unless he be born again of spirit. Okay? Born again of spirit. And he explained it to Nicodemus. It involves a radical change in a person's nature, moving from a state of spiritual death to spiritual life. Listen, that's what happened when I knelt down at an altar probably 40 years ago or 35 years ago when I knelt down at an altar and gave my life to Jesus Christ and cried over it. And I cried a big old puddle of tears and all that. And I gave my life to God. And when I stood up, I was no longer dead in this world. I was no longer dead to what God, the purposes of God that he had in my life. I was raised to life through the blood of Jesus Christ. I was raised to life with Christ himself so that I could carry out the purpose and the meaning in my life. That is what being born again is. That is, and the thing is, when I rose up, I didn't rise up as Aaron the sinner. I didn't rise up as Aaron the mess up. I didn't rise up as Aaron the mistake maker. I rose up as Aaron, son of God. I rose up as Aaron, heir to the kingdom of the throne. I rose up as Aaron, the one with purpose and power of the kingdom of God, because he carries the name of Jesus Christ as his surname now. I carried his name with me. When we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, when we give our lives to him and we are born again, we are adopted into his family. We are adopted into the kingdom of God. With that adoption comes a new name, and with it comes rights and responsibilities that go along with it. John 1 says, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. It doesn't matter how dirty your past is. It doesn't matter how ugly your life was. When Jesus Christ raised you up and gave you his own blood, he gave you a new name, and it is child of God, and no one can take that away from you. Ephesians 1 says he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will. When we accept Christ, we are born again into a new family with a new purpose and with a new power. That new name gives us access to the power to help us overcome. John even tells us how to be born again, to receive that new name. In John 5, 1, everyone who believes, that word believe, it's more than just making a statement. I believe. I can stand up here all day long and say, I believe I can fly. I believe I can touch the sky. I can sing that all day long. But if I jump off of this stage, I can guarantee you I'm not going to float around this room with feathers. I'm not going to fly. I can say, I believe I'm the best pastor in the entire nation. Now, just because I say I believe it doesn't mean it's so. Because I know there's plenty of people out there that can preach better, be better, and talk better than I'll ever do, and they can be better pastors. Now, it doesn't matter. They're called to be them. I'm called to be me. I can say I believe I'm the absolute best husband that anybody could ever have. Okay. I was waiting for the amen. But that doesn't make it so. I can say I believe in Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior, but if I don't put action to my faith, if I don't put action to my belief, there is something wrong with that statement. Listen, that word believe means more than that. It means trust with an implication that actions based on that trust must follow. If you say, I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins, then you have to put actions to that faith and go into your own life and start cleaning those sins out of your life. Because if Jesus died to free you from those sins, then it's time to get them out of your life. You can't say, I believe Jesus died for my sins, but I'm going to keep them right here on my side so that I can have them within my reach. Are you with me? Actions must follow, and that's why he puts the verse 3 in there, where it says, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Our actions must line up with our heart and his heart. Our love causes our obedience to be light, not a chore. I love my wife. Jay, if you'll go ahead and come. I love my wife. And when I do things for my wife, I don't do them out of obligation. I do them out of love. I don't know if I've told a story of how we got engaged. I've held on to that one for a little while, so I may tell you all a little bit about it. I remember it was during a leap year, and we had missed our Valentine's date together. And as we missed that Valentine's date, I had already decided, and the funny thing is we had broken up for like 2 weeks, like the week before. And I called and talked to her parents. I was going to drive down there and ask their permission for her hand and all that kind of stuff. But they said, listen, go ahead, take her. We don't want her no more. But I came home and I planned out this great night. Now, I was working my tail off the entire night. I was cooking. I was cleaning. I was at my parents' house on Sunnydale Drive in Concord, Alabama, in Hueytown area. And I was cooking, I was cleaning, I baked a cake, y'all. I did all that kind of stuff. I made one of her favorite meals, which was chicken fettuccine Alfredo. I went and I got a salad from Olive Garden because God knows that I can't make a salad. Don't know why. You just throw a bunch of green stuff in a bowl and it's there. I made a dessert. I made a heart-shaped cake. I'm getting some points for the ladies in the room right now. I was sweating. I was so nervous, y'all. I couldn't even hold on to my fork during dinner. I'm sitting there and I dropped my fork, hit the ground like 4 times before we ever even got to the pasta. Dropped everything. Put on a song and she and I were, okay, don't tell the district officials, but we danced. Did a little slow dance. Right now, there's people in here going, oh, I don't know if he can preach anymore at this church. And the thing is, I was sweating, I was working, I was getting everything done for her, and I knelt down and I put the ring on her finger and asked her to marry me, and she said, if that's what I think it is, that's the wrong hand or wrong finger. I had put it onto the middle finger. But the thing is, I didn't mind one bit of the work. I didn't care that I was sweating. I didn't care that it was hard to get all this stuff together. I didn't care that I had to take care of all this stuff throughout the day in order to give her a night that she would remember. I didn't care about any of that. You know why? Because my love made my burden light. My old pastor had a saying that he would say, because a lot of people, they sit there and they complain about how it's hard to love Jesus and it's hard to live for God in today's society and all that. And I love what he says. He says, if you love God easy, it's hard to live for him. But if you love God hard, It's easy to live for him. Church, our love makes our burdens light. Everyone, if I say everyone, who is born of God, say born of God. It isn't hard to teach a class or sing in worship when you love God. It isn't hard to pay your tithes when you love God. You don't wrestle with it back and forth, back and forth. When you love God, you don't care. God said it, I'm going to do it. It's not hard to cook on Wednesday nights for the church when you love God, because you're not doing it for the people inside that room, you're doing it for him. It's not hard to go over and cut somebody's grass who can't cut their own grass, because you love God. And that reflects that love to the people that are around you. Why, Pastor Aaron, why do you mention those specific things? Because we got people in this church that do every single one of those. And the last thing I want to tell you is this. Where in that same verse it says, overcomes the world. He who is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Grammar has a lot to do with Scripture. Stand with me today. Grammar has a lot to do with Scripture. I was not a big fan of English when I was in school, but this word overcomes. See, you were born to win. Everybody say born to win. You were born to win, and that word overcome has a lot to say, or overcomes has a lot to say about it. In that verse, it says, he who is born of God overcomes the world. Overcomes the world. There's a point behind that, because that overcomes is in the present tense active verb. It is a present tense active verb. It's not something that is going to happen in the future. It's not something that has happened in the past, but it is something that you are continually doing in the moment that you are living in that place and that time. When it says, for everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world, it means at this very moment, you are living in an overcoming moment. You are living in a moment where you have already won. You are living in a moment that Christ has already defeated the enemy, and it continues because the next step you take, you know what? That moment travels with you, because it says overcomes. It doesn't say that you stop overcoming when you move on to the next thing. That's why I'm telling you, you were born to win. When we accept Christ, believe in him as our personal Savior, love him and reflect that love to others, we are born of God, born into a perpetual state of winning, overcoming, and conquering through one simple thing, our faith. That faith is what gives us the victory. It is through our faith in action and being born again into a new life that allows us to live the life of an overcoming, powerful man or woman of God. Can I tell you, stop wondering if you're going to make it. Stop saying, I don't know if I can make it, God. You've already won. Start acting like it. No, you still may be bloody. You still may be bruised. You still may be tired. Listen, I went to camp. I was bloody. I was bruised. I was tired. But I knew eventually I would come out on the other side and I would be fine. Whatever your situation is, when you come out of it on the other side, you're going to be able to stand with your hands lifted high and your voice raised up to heaven saying, I win because of who he is. I win because I have overcome. I win because I am born of God, and I am born to win.
Thank you so much for joining us today, and we pray that you were blessed by the ministry of this podcast. Now, if you have any questions or comments, you can contact me personally at Pastor Aaron Argo at iCloud.com. And make sure to hit the subscribe button so that you'll know when we put out a new podcast and you can join us again. And as always, please remember, you belong here.